Hey, everybody, it's Andy. And before we jump into this month's podcast, I want to tell you about an opportunity that some of you won't want to miss. This month, November, this month, Craig Groeschel and I will be in three different cities doing our Catalyst One Day Conference. It's a conference for church leaders that focuses on the nuts and bolts of leadership. So if you are a church leader, we would love to see you at one of the three cities this month. We'll be in Chicago. We're going to be in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We're going to be in South Florida. If you're interested, you can go to CatalystOneDay.com. That's CatalystOneDay.com. Register for any of these three events this month. And if you use the rate code PODCAST, just type in PODCAST when you register, you can save a few dollars on your ticket. So we'd love to see you this month at a Catalyst One Day. We've been doing these for about 5 years. It's an extraordinary day of teaching that focuses specifically on the nuts and bolts of leading a local church. Love to see you there.
Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll talk to a next generation leader about a question that all leaders need to ask. Andy, as we begin the podcast today, why don't you introduce our guest?
I would love to. Our guest today is Clay Scroggins, and Clay's actually going to be with us for two podcasts for the month of November, this month, and next month, December. And Clay has been on our staff since 2003. Clay means a lot to Sandra and me personally because of the influence he had in the lives of our three children. He's a super bright guy, great communicator, graduated from Georgia Tech, got his master's degree, just finished his doctorate. And so you are about to learn a very, very important principle from an extraordinarily great guy. So, Clay, we're thrilled that you're with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I am a longtime listener and obviously a first-time caller, yeah. So glad to be here.
Well, Andy, the idea for today's podcast actually originated after Clay sent you a rather unique email. Tell that story, Clay.
Well, I had a message that I was working on, and Andy's been so generous to always say, hey, if there's ever anything I can do to help, let me know. And when you're preparing the message, as I'm sure many people have prepared something, and you wonder where is this going and when is it going to get where I need it to be? I was in that place where I just couldn't quite get to where I knew it needed to be. And so I emailed it to Andy and said, hey, would you give me your feedback on this if you have time? And he was gracious to give me some notes and pass on some helpful encouragement and some good direction for me.
And Andy, in that email, in that request, you saw really a great leadership principle.
Yeah, and the thing is, before I respond specifically to what Clay said, this is something that Clay does a lot, and that's why he's here today. We have lots of staff members who are constantly looking for feedback, and one of the things that we talk about a lot in here is the importance of evaluation. But I think of all of the people I've worked with through the years, Clay is the person who initiates and asks for feedback the quickest. And this wasn't the first time. Every time I'm out at his campus, he'll email me, he'll call me, and he'll say, what did you see? What did you see? What do I need to do different? How can I make it better? And so I think most of the people on our staff know that I'm not shy about telling people what I've seen or what I think we need to do to improve. And I want us to have a culture of that. But Clay initiates that. And so when I got this email that said, hey, I'm working on this, you know, help me make it better, I thought, you know, you are so good at that. That's something we need to talk about because that's something that every leader needs to invite. And I think it's something that because we're leaders, we hesitate to invite. The other thing I thought was, you know, I'm not sure I would have done that when it comes to message preparation. And I am sure that when I was at his season as a leader, because he's a few years younger than me, actually a lot of years younger than me.
Yeah, few's a good way to put it.
Few's a good way. Yeah, thanks. I said that for my benefit, not yours. I know that when I was in his stage of leadership, it was very, very difficult for me to take feedback. Even though in the moment when somebody called me in to say, hey, Andy, there's something we need to talk about, I knew I needed to hear it. But I didn't want to hear it, and I was very hesitant to ever invite it. So I thought, because here's a young leader who's quick to invite it, and he's an extraordinary leader on his own. And again, Clay is one of those guys that's going to figure out whether he gets feedback or not. But the fact that he would invite it, I just thought it was extraordinary, and I thought it was something we should talk about.
Andy, I think you were so encouraged by Clay's action that you wanted to find a way to replicate that in our staff. And so you pulled a few of us together to talk about, I guess, how we can talk about
this.
Yeah,
I did. I thought, you know, this is such an important value for us as an organization and for leaders. I thought, let's pull a few leaders together and talk about this whole idea of inviting feedback. And so, of course, a few of us got together and Clay showed up, but he showed up with an outline. And it was so compelling. That was kind of the end of the conversation. I said, hey, Clay, you've thought, not only do you do this, now you have thought it through and you have put it in outline form. So why don't you lead our next all staff meeting and talk about the art of inviting feedback? And so he did. And then Lane and I looked at each other and thought, podcast.
That's right.
So that's how you got here.
And November is covered.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited, as Andy said, that our listeners get to hear really from you today about this as well, Clay. So as you began your talk, you made an observation that may seem obvious, but it's important to remember, and that's that everyone has an opinion.
Absolutely. And just another note about our culture. We live in a culture in our organization of, I would say, intense evaluation, that we highly value evaluation. And because of that, we realize, I think I quickly understood, that everyone has an opinion about everything you're doing. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That I think I'm the same way in a lot of ways. I think I have opinions about what others are doing. I remember when I was first getting started really going to church at North Point, I was about 20, and I was telling the Bible story in our children's environment. And this little chunky kid, he was a super cute little redheaded, freckled kid. He looked like a cartoon almost. He would every week sit right on the front row, and he was always listening. And I actually sat by him one day in the adult service, and I looked over and said, hey, I've seen you before. And he said, I've seen you before too. And I said, yeah, I figured that. And I said, how was the Bible story today? And I had just told it that morning. And he looked at me and he said, it was good. And I said, no, really, how was it? And he said, you should have used a prop. And I thought you're nine and you're already evaluating how I just did in telling the Bible story. But I think that really is the culture that we have, you know, that everything is evaluated. And that's not a bad thing. I think that really is Andy, I've heard you say this before, but that is a quality of a leader. Leaders have opinions about things and about the way things should be done. And most people think that they could do it better than they're seeing it done.
Clay, I don't think anyone listening would deny what you're saying, but why is that important? What good does it do?
Well, I don't think it does any good for people to have opinions about me if I don't know those opinions. And I think that's one thing that I've learned quickly. Andy, you said this in a staff meeting at one point, but you don't benefit from the information that you don't have. And I think that's one thing that I realized, that in our culture, people were constantly, from our staff, constantly visiting, checking out our church, evaluating environments. I know me as a leader, I would walk around to different environments, particularly on Sunday, but throughout the week as well. And I had opinions about what was happening, and I realized people had opinions about what I was doing as well. And I think it hit me that I'm not doing myself any favors to not know what those opinions are.
So the obvious answer then, as you said, is we need to ask. But Andy, let me just ask you, why do you think most leaders don't ask?
You know, I think that's a great question, because I think every leader listening that just heard Clay say that thinks, well, that's exactly right. Everybody in my organization has an opinion. Everybody in my organization, I hope our leaders know this, think they could probably lead as well or better than we can. And the reason you can assume they think that is because you think that. We all think that. We all sit in meetings and think, I could lead this better, I'd make a better decision. So we just have to assume that. That's not a problem. That's just an is. That's just the way it is. So consequently, to not have a mechanism or to not have a culture where we benefit from those thoughts or those opinions, we lose. There's absolutely no advantage to that. And one of the things that Clay said when he shared this with our staff, and I don't know if this is exactly a quote, and maybe you can elaborate on this, is sometimes being seen as excellent is sometimes a greater value than excellence itself. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah.
It was this whole idea that, and it's really a pride issue, that I want everyone to think that all the best ideas were my ideas. I want everyone to think that I'm the best problem solver, that I'm the best leader. So to invite feedback or to invite an opinion and to alter something I do based on something someone who reports to me suggests, it on the surface feels like, oh my gosh, it's undermining my leadership or my authority. But that's not true. In fact,
right.
When I say it and you hear it, you go, well, you're right, that's not true. But I think emotionally we get all
right.
Wrapped around that. Our pride gets all wrapped around that. And consequently, we just don't ask.
You're almost implicitly admitting that there's a chink in the armor by just asking. But everyone knows that there's chinks in the armor.
Right.
So that's the bottom line, is that you're really admitting to everyone that you know what they see,
yeah.
that you don't have it all together.
Exactly. Whenever a leader says, hey, I want to share something I've just discovered about myself, no one pulls out their pen to write it down because they already knew. It is never – my weakness will never be new information for anybody. I'll be the last to know and certainly the last to admit it. So I do think one of the most important things that Clay surfaced, and one of the great things that he models, is just this willingness to push through the pride, push through the perception, push through the, oh my gosh, since I'm the leader, I'm supposed to have it all together and all the answers. And that's difficult to do. Yeah. And I think maybe, and I'd love your feedback on this, or I would love to invite your
thank you.
your comment on this thought is, it seems to me, and not this isn't scientific, it seems that the stronger the leader, maybe the more type A the leader, the more resistance there is to this. And that for those of us who, you know, are drivers and are, you know, people who just are all about progress, we probably need some kind of visual reminder or somebody around us to remind us to do this, because it is not intuitive, but we know we benefit from it.
And I think sometimes it just takes time to do it too. And I think a lot of leaders, I know I oftentimes think, I don't have time to slow down to ask because I've got to move on to the next thing or design the next thing or prepare for the next event that we're doing. I don't have time to ask the question. And I think the question that I continue to ask myself in regards to what you were just talking about, Andy, is do I want to really be great or do I want to be seen as great? And that's a big difference. You know, do I want to actually accomplish something and move the ball down the field, or do I want to be seen as a leader who, in my own mind, has it all together?
Yeah, one of the things you said is that sometimes leaders mistake being right with being credible. I thought that was that's really a powerful thought. That what you just said is all about perception. So let me ask you a question, Clay. And this isn't in our script. So personally, how do you push through that? I mean, because you know, you're a super bright guy. You're better educated than me. I your SAT scores. I didn't take the SAT lest I find out how poorly I would do on the SAT. I took the ACT. You know, so. You know, you, and I think this is one of the things that those of us who work with you are so impressed with. You probably, as much as anyone on our staff, could justifiably not do this because of your giftedness, your success, you're just bright, you're talented, and yet you really, in so many ways, lead the way. So internally, what's that self-conversation that finally gets you to the point where, hey, I'm going to ask this tough question, even though I might discover the very thing I don't want to discover?
Well, I try to think about what question do I want the people that work around me to ask me? When I have opinions about what they're doing, I thought, what do I want them to ask me? And I think the question that's most helpful for me is to be able to ask your boss, to be able to ask the people that work beside you, and to even ask the people that work for you, if you were me, what would you do differently? If you were me, what would you do differently? If you were me, how would you have done that differently? Or even on the front end, hey, if you were me, you see this outline, you see this event that we're going to have, you see this presentation I'm going to make, what would you do differently than what you currently see?
And that really is an extraordinary question. You said in your talk, when you were talking to our staff, that asking me this question about your message actually affected the way you processed my answer. Yeah. Now, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I asked you, hey, what would you have done differently or what would you do differently about this message? And you gave me honest feedback, as you're great at doing. And as I was processing it, I thought, this actually stings a little bit. It hurts a little bit. And I actually had to talk with my wife about this, and she's the one who really encouraged me, because at first I had to close the email and I thought, I don't want to read that. And she said, now look, you emailed him and asked him because you wanted to know, and now he's telling you. So how foolish would it be for you to not look at that? You really do want to know. And I think what I learned is that when you solicit opinions, it's actually easier to receive than an unsolicited opinion. That because I asked, it was almost, in some ways, it's getting your heart prepared or getting your mind prepared or getting you in a position where you can now take the advice that somebody's going to give you because you've done the hard work of asking, hey, I want to know, and it might be difficult to receive, but I really do want to hear what you have to say. I'll tell you another thing that I've learned through this process is that you also you also win by simply asking the question. That there's a trust that's built between you and your boss, you and your coworkers, you and the people that work on your team. There's a trust that's built when you say to them what we've said before, hey, I recognize that I don't have it all together. And there is almost a bridge of trust that's built that allows them to give you feedback that I think is really helpful. I think it also exercises a muscle of humility in you. It exercises the muscle of saying, hey, I recognize what everyone around me recognizes, that I don't have it all together, that I'm not there yet, that there's still some room to grow. And because I'm verbally recognizing that by asking you, if you were me, what would you do differently? I think you actually gain trust. You build a relationship. You gain humility on your own. And then it definitely helps the relationship between you and the people that work around you.
And the thing that our leaders are thinking right now as they hear that, because this is how leaders think, that we're conflicted. There's this tension because I know it's what I want the people who work for me to give me permission to do. And I know it helps them, and I know it helps them go further faster. And then as soon as I turn around and look upstream to my manager or my boss or my board, suddenly it just feels completely different. But it's not. It is just creating a channel of feedback and a channel of information oftentimes that has to flow to and through and down. And, you know, it's just our organizations are going to be better. So again, just getting there personally is the challenge. And then the thing too, Clay, when you share this with our staff, one of the things, you know, as leaders, we always listen as at least two people, sometimes three people. And part of my filter of listening to you that day was thinking, I wonder what his staff is thinking. Here is their boss. Here's the person in some cases that hired them, that they do their, you know, quarterly sit down, or, you know, twice a year sit down and, you know, their evaluation with. And he is talking about his willingness to invite feedback, because their perception of you is, here's the guy that doesn't ever invite it possibly, or doesn't need it because you're the boss. So it was so healthy on so many fronts. And again, I'm really hoping that this idea will, as it continues to permeate our culture, really will be something that's replicated with all of our leaders and all of their organizations.
I know that the way our organization is structured, we all go meet with our teams right after our all staffs. We have different things. And the thing that I loved about your talk is I knew every leader on our staff was experiencing what I did when I sat in front of my team. My team was looking at me like, you're going to ask, you're going to ask, you're going to, you know,
do you want to know?
Yeah,
because
we all
have an answer.
Right. And it put the pressure on us to, and then I said, hey, I'm not going to ask you today, I said, but I am going to ask you next week. So you get a week to think about it. But I loved the fact that I think that happened again and again and again throughout the organization.
And Lane, I think what I would imagine what would happen on your team is eventually, hopefully, they're going to give you the feedback that they thought of that day when you asked. Right. But I think by you asking, you will get more honest feedback that they can, in a sense, I think we've all experienced that where you felt like you had to bring the compliment sandwich, you know, sometimes even the full compliment footlong sub. And I think when you honestly ask and say, hey, I really want to know, what would you do differently if you were me? I think you can cut the fluff. You can say, hey, you don't need to tell me that you like my shirt and that my shoes match and all that. You don't have to say all that. I honestly want to know. I think people feel more comfortable to say, okay, well, here's the honest feedback that I have to give you.
And there's really a benefit to the person being asked for feedback in this process.
Absolutely. And in our culture, one of the areas where I coach is in the area of communication. So oftentimes when I know one of our guys is coming up to communicate, I will ask them for their outline beforehand, or I'll say, hey, come in, let's sit down and talk about it. Well, there's a difference between me saying, hey, Clay, would you come in? I want to look at your outline. That almost communicates, hey, I'm not sure you're going to do a good job. Let me check this out. Let me make sure it's going to be the way I want it to be. I could do that, and I have done that. But the fact that he initiated the process really did make it easier for me to give feedback and to be a little bit more direct. Again, I didn't feel like I had to dance around because he invited me in. I feel like I gave better feedback, he got better feedback, and it was a shorter meeting.
Right.
So you're right. The fact that when we're invited into the process, whether whether it's somebody who works for us or somebody we work for, when we're invited into the process, it is easier to give feedback. And I think it is also probably almost always in a more relational context with a more relational tone versus this sort of professional meeting where we're having to go through something that, you know, none of us want to go through. So the invitation is so extraordinarily powerful.
I think everyone's experienced what you're talking about, because everyone has thought, oh, I probably need to tell him not to say that anymore, or I probably need to tell her, hey, that table doesn't look as great as you think it looks. I know I probably need to share that with them, but I don't know how. Yeah. And in the invitation allows you to take the weight of what you're going to say and walk it across that relationship, yep, as you say, and deliver the feedback.
Yeah. And two, wouldn't you agree that this is somewhat a personality thing? There are some personalities that are so confrontationally adverse,
right,
that giving helpful feedback feels like confrontation. Mm-hmm. So sure, they just won't do it.
Right.
They're just,
right,
you're just not going to get the benefit of their insight. And then there are people, because they don't feel like there's a relationship, they would feel like it's none of my business, then you're not going to get their feedback either. So again, the invitation is it's very powerful.
Yeah, I think the key is actually asking the question, because it sets up the person to give you
what
the information.
What would you do differently if you were me? Or
that's
if you
right
were me, what would you do differently? It almost rhymes. It's awesome.
It does.
Well, guys, as we wrap up today's podcast, Andy, any final thoughts as we talk about this question?
Yeah, I think we all have a homework assignment, and I'll just share this. This week, actually, I was meeting with one of our leadership team members, and I have something I'm trying to figure out, and she is involved in the whole decision-making process. And as she was politely and humbly addressing this, mm-hmm, I finally just interrupted, and I said, okay, so what would you do if you were me? Just tell me. Don't even be polite. If you understand this area of our organization better than I do, and yet I have some decisions to make. So just tell me, what would you do? What would you do if you were me? And it changed the tone of the conversation, and I felt like it gave her freedom to just speak frankly. And I wanted to know. So I'd like to give all of our podcast listeners a quick homework assignment. Unless you're driving, I simply want you to write the question down. If you were me, what would you do differently? If you were me, what would you do differently? And I want you to put it on a card somewhere, a sticky note somewhere, and in your next leadership meeting, whether it's one-on-one or with a group, I just want you to look for a way to ask that question. If you were me, what would you do differently as it relates to a specific issue in your organization, a decision that's coming up? And I think we will all be better leaders if this becomes a part of our vocabulary. And here's what I would predict, and we've all seen this with everything we talk about on the Leadership Podcast. What I begin to do consistently, the people who report to me begin to do consistently, generally speaking. They read the books that I read. They use the terminology I use. And eventually, they will ask the questions that we ask. So, Clay, thank you so much for bringing this to the table. And the good news is we're not finished with this discussion. Next month, we're going to pick it up right here. So get ready, because there's a whole lot more to come. Lane?
Andy, Clay, thanks so much for taking this time with us today. And thank you to our listening audience. To hear more from Andy on leadership, visit andystanley.com. We'll talk to you next month.